Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
It is. Well, let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this time. We worship you, dear God, because you are God. Dear God, you are the author of wisdom. Dear God, your word says you are the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Heavenly Father, we want you to just mature us today. Dear God, allow us to grow in you and grow in grace and your mercy, dear God, and become who you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray to God that you would allow the minds to hear what your word is saying, dear God, and that our hearts would understand and apply it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Quick recap. I started saying that we search our whole lives to get more of something. Everybody's in the search for more of something. At your job, you want more money, right? If you don't want more money at your job, there might be something wrong with you. Right? Because they're making you work. You want to feel that you're worth something. You want more gadgets. You know, we got new iPhones, new cell phones, new technology. We always want more of something. But in that chase for more, we should never let anything get past us wanting more of God. Amen? A lot of times that's when it gets out of control, is when we put these other things higher than we put God. We never should put our house, our car, even though these things are necessary, we should never put it higher than God. Amen. And it's a battle because the devil knows that. I talked about last week when the enemy was telling Jesus to bow down and I'll give you all of this. And Jesus said, man shall not worship anybody but the Lord thy God. Amen. But a lot of times what happens is if we are at that same situation and we see all the things that the devil puts in front of us, we're like, oh, that looks good. You know what I'm saying? A Bugatti. And if you don't know what a Bugatti costs a couple million dollars just to get. And you have to pay for them. And I don't want a Bugatti, but I'm just saying. Some people be like, oh, a Bugatti, $2 million car. Yeah, $2 million house. That sounds good, right? And it's paid off. But you should never worship that more than you worship God. You should never worship that, period. Amen? So in our quest for more things in life, and the Bible does say be content with what you have, right? So learning to accept what you have, and that doesn't mean that you just sit there and say, oh, this is all I got. I don't work to get better. You can work to get better, but being satisfied with what God has for you is the key. Amen? So we talked about wanting more. We talked about more in prayer. Before I had to get this sermon, I had to pray more. And I've talked about prayer for the last month. Last month, I've talked about prayer every time I preached. But in more prayer, it doesn't mean I'm saying more things. For some of us, it's listening more. I had a conversation with one of my friends, and he was like, I feel like I'm saying the same things over and over to God. And I said, well, what do you hear from God? Oh, we forgot about that part because prayer is communication, right? If Brother Art wants to come talk to me and we're having a conversation and all I'm doing is talking, but Art got something to say, he's going to be like, man, that wasn't a conversation. He just wanted to, spill his heart on me, you know? What did they say? You just had a lot to get off your chest, right? But a conversation with God is understanding how to hear from him. And I always tell people this, if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you won't hear God's voice. And it helps you understand the difference between your voice and God's voice. That's the biggest problem for a lot of believers. They don't understand the difference between God's voice and our voice until they get into a quagmire, and that's a word my dad would use, right? Until they get in a situation where it's messed up, because he always got to explain those kind of words. Until you get into a situation that is messed up, and now you're like, God, I heard you before, but I didn't obey, right? So we have to learn to hear his voice and understand his voice, because God's voice, the Holy Spirit, reminds us of the scriptures. Amen. We also talked about Joseph. Before that, we talked about Paul saying, even as a believer, I've got to this point. I don't stop here and say, oh, look what I did. I say, I want more in God. I'm a press towards the mark of the high prize, which is my calling in Christ Jesus. I'm going to press toward that. I'm going to keep on, even the things I did, I'm going to live up to it, meaning I'm going to still keep my standards like they were, and we're going to raise them from there. Amen? I think Christianity, sometimes we get the misunderstanding that it is just about getting to one place. But sanctification, which is us becoming more like God, is a daily process. It never stops. Never stops. So if we want more sanctification, our job daily is to say, how can I be more like God? God, as a father, there's sometimes where I'm really hard on my kids, and I'm really praying that I learn how to balance yelling and instructing. There's times where you have to yell. Like if my kids is about to run across the street, I should yell, right? But if they spill water, I don't have to yell all the time. You know what I'm saying? So as a father, I want to be like God. I don't want to be like myself. So I have to learn, okay, God, help me not to yell. Help me to understand when I need to speak the right way. And that's a daily battle, because as soon as I pray that, I get tested on it. It's like the kids don't want to listen that day. And it's like, well, God, help me this time. But that's just something that I'm learning even in my life. Amen. We talked about the more in Joseph. We read Genesis chapter 37 and 39. Let's go finish it up at chapter 40. We're going to read the chapter 40 and 41. It's a lot of reading, but I want us to see what happens. This is after Joseph. One of the things more, he kept getting into more trouble, right? And it wasn't even his fault. It just seemed like everywhere he went, somebody was out to get him. But we see that even in the midst of turmoil, God turned it into more blessings for Joseph. Amen. Let's read it. It says, it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them so that they were in custody for a while. All right. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Somebody say a dream. So now you guys got to remember, Joseph started with a dream. His mission started with a dream. The reason why God allowed his brothers to hate him so much, or I ain't gonna say God allowed him, but the reason why his brothers hated him so much was because of his dream. Even when they got rid of him, they said one of the key things were, now what's going to happen to his dreams, right? Now, let me tell you something. God will give you a dream that you must fulfill, right? God's going to give you a dream that you must fulfill. Now, you're going to go through a lot of things. And like I said, just like Joseph, it did not happen instantly. His dream did not come to pass instantly. He went through a lot of things, but he kept a hold of his dream. See, a lot of us go through things and we forget about the dreams that God has given us, or the vision. Sometimes I'm not talking about a physical dream, but the vision that God has showed us. Why? Because life will do that to you. If the enemy knows that if God gave you a vision and if I let you go through enough turmoil, then we can take that from you. That's what the enemy wants to do. So it's interesting that Joseph got dreams, got him here, but also these dreams that he's able to interpret it are going to get him out. All right, let's see what happens. If you haven't read it, I hope I didn't spoil it. It said, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "What or why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" All right, look, it's interesting because every time somebody had to get an interpretation, Joseph, Daniel, is there anybody else in the Bible that you can remember that interpreted dreams? Even an angel that came to tell Joseph in a dream what to do, they all said, "I don't do this in my own strength. I do this in God's strength. It's not me that interprets it. It's God." Right. And one thing that we don't see about Joseph, we don't see how God may have been humbling him through this whole process. You understand what I'm saying? Because at first he was haughty. "Yeah, I got this dream. You guys are about to bow down to me. I'm about to be the king. Even my parents is going to bow down to me." You know, like, if your little brother came and said some stuff like that, I'm pretty sure you would be like, "Come on, man. You're not going to, there's no way you're going to be better than me. And I'm not going to bow down to you at all." So even what the brothers went through, it could be understood. And then he got that new coat. We talked about that new coat, right? You guys remember that new coat, right? That colorful coat. Nobody else had one in the world. And it set him apart. But it set him apart, and he probably was proud because of he was set apart. And see, we don't see that in this story, but we can understand how that can happen. We get a dream, and we just puffed up, and then God has to put you through a time period of, okay, your dream is not working out like you wanted because you was trying to do it in your own strength. Now let me do it, and let you follow me. Amen? And this is what some of the things Joseph had to go through. So let's see. It says right here, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands. And Joseph said to them, or to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner, which when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house." It's funny that Joseph said that, right? "For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into this dungeon." When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "Man, let me tell you my dream too," right? He's like, and it's interesting because these dreams troubled these people, but that dream wasn't really troubling. You just had a dream that you saw grapes and you put grapes in a cup and took it to the Pharaoh. Like, they were distressed because of something like this. But why? Because so that God can get the glory in this. Amen. Then it says right here, it says, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there was 3 white blankets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, this is an interpretation of it. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up his head or the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. All right. Now, I want to say something about that. It's interesting, that little last line. A lot of times when you do something, especially you're led by God, there's a story where Jesus healed 10 people, right? And only one of them came back to thank him. Remember that story? They are all healed, and only one came. It's like only one remembered. Sometimes people have a hard time remembering what God or who God places in their life until another crisis happens. Amen? So sometimes we shouldn't be worried about, oh, is this person going to come back, even though we've prayed for them and God has moved, or we've done these things. Just know that God will bring them back when he needs to bring them back. Amen? And that's just encouragement, because there's a lot of times we may pour into somebody else's life and we don't see instant results. But know that God is going to take care of it. Amen. Listen, let's go to chapter 41. I'll read this. And then we're going to go to another story. It says, then it came to pass at the end of the 2 full years. Somebody say 2 years. All right, so this is 2 years after he gave the interpretation. All right, so he was like, remember me, but he forgot. So, and we got to just say, blame his head, not his heart, right? It was his head's fault. He couldn't remember. It said, Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted it for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. Now, this is powerful, because even the Bible talks about many will be called, but few are chosen, right? Joseph was chosen for this situation. You guys see how that happened? There was a situation that, after these 2 years, and like I said, we don't get to see what God was doing with Joseph during those 2 years. He was still in the dungeon, as he called it. Still in the dungeon, still probably praying, still trying to figure out, God, what is your will for my life? God, I know, he probably said it like this, I know there got to be more than this, right? Because you got to think, we've seen people in the prisons lately, and they had been in there wrongfully, right? Been in there 7 years, and they didn't even commit the crime. And then 7 years afterwards, somebody finds evidence, and they're saying, man, that person's cleared. He didn't even do it, right? That's the same situation with Joseph. Joseph did not do wrong, but he was placed in the wrong situation. Amen? But God called him for such a time as this. Because let's see what God does. It says, verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changing his clothes, probably had to take a shower too. You know, he probably was smelling, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream. So interpret it. Now, this is something that Joseph does smart, because some of us want to take the credit for what God gives us. So it says, so Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, let me say this. If you want to do more in God, you always have to realize it's not you. Right? If I'm a pray and I'm expecting people to be healed, it's not me that's doing it. When I'm preaching, it's like I always try to explain it. Like when I'm preaching, God gives me certain words that I didn't even put in my notes. Why? Because he is speaking through me. And in the times where you get hit the most is when God says something for me to tell to you. Amen. So it's not me. I don't get up here and think I'm super eloquent and I'm super fly and I'm the guy that God is using. Look, I'm just a vessel. And we always got to keep that in understanding. I can be switched out if I'm not in the right place with God. God can get his work done through somebody else. Right? So I have to always remember that it's not me, but it is God in me that does the work. It's not me being Superman, and it's not me even understanding the word of God. You can only understand the word of God by the Holy Spirit giving you understanding of the word of God. That's why many scholars will read the Bible, and this is why it's dangerous just to go to school to become a pastor because you think it's a cool job. You're not going to really understand God's word. You can read it with a natural mind, but it takes a spiritual mind to understand what God's word is really all about. Amen. So verse 16 says, and if you can highlight this or something, do that. It says, so Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, and he told him the dream, right? We can skip that. Let's go verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Then the seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one, and the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God. Man, that's a powerful word. God establishes a lot of things in our lives. Amen. And it says, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Now, it's interesting here because after Joseph shared this dream with him, he could have went back to the prison. Right. He doesn't vouch for this job that's coming up. He doesn't say, now, Pharaoh, put me in this position, man. I'm well qualified. I'll take care of it. Look, man, I know how to do it. Right. But we remember back in the day, Joseph was like, man, I'm the man. You guys are going to bow down to me. Your reefs are going to bow down to me. He didn't do all that because there was a time where God revealed to him that it's not about him. Right. And then it said right here, it said, now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt. in the seven plentiful years, and let them gather all the foods of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Look at it. It says, verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Now, look, that's powerful. When people see us, when we want more of God, what one thing we should want more of is that people can see the Spirit of God in us. Because when they see the Spirit of God in us, they know how to approach you, right? They know when you have the Spirit of God in you, people are not going to want to sin around you. They're not going to want to, hey, man, you want to smoke with me? They're going to be like, no, hey, we don't do that around him. Why? Because he's a man of God, right? There's a distinction. Even the world, people that are not living for God know a distinction, right? I'm going to say this, man. There's plenty of times where I had been doing street ministry, and some of the people that I was ministering to had guns, right? And I didn't, and I think sometimes God allows you not to see some stuff so you don't kind of be scared. But a couple of times, there was people with me, and they're like, hey, he got a gun, bro, chill out. And I'm like, no, man, God didn't allow me to see that, so now I'm a minister to his life. And speaking into his life, they were like, it was an opportunity for God and plants to see plants to be sown into his life. Amen. One time there was one person that I was like, man, God loves you, bro. And he was like, no, he don't. God don't love me. I said, man, God loves you, man. He died just for you. He came to this earth and he died for your sins. And then he rose. Amen. And he was like, God don't love me. He don't know what I'm about to do. Then he pulled out a gun. It was like, God don't know what I'm about to do. I said, man, he still loves you. And he put it back. And it was funny because it was one of them instances where I saw what happened, but I didn't understand what happened until he walked away. And then I was like, man, he just pulled out a gun. You know, Precious, you was with me that time. We was over there on the street by Fred Meyer in the Highlands. And when that happened, I was like, wow, God shielded me even from seeing that at that moment. But he showed me that this impacted this kid. And he didn't even want to go do what he was going to do after that. His whole course was changed. Amen. Because the Spirit of God that allowed me to speak to him. There was nothing special about the guy that I had to roll my window down and tell him God loves him. But God allowed me to see that man. Amen. And we have to be in tune with the Spirit to know who we should talk to and who God doesn't want us to talk to. Amen. Because there's sometimes you're trying to do the work of God and you're going and trying to get everybody. Hey, you come here. Hey, you come here. But God is trying to reveal to you who he really wants to send to you. And you can waste time trying to do things in your own power for God, but missing what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. Amen. So we got to make sure when we want more of God, we want more of his Spirit. Amen. Let's see in verse 39, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in the garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name ZP, and he gave him as wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. All right. Now, Joseph was 30 years old. Somebody say 30. So remember, he was 17 when this whole journey started. Man, how many years is that? That's 13 years. 13 years that Joseph went through what he went through to receive the promise that God gave him. And that's just 13 years from when he was placed into slavery. That's not even, it took longer than that when God gave him a dream. God gave him a dream way before that. But it took 13 years, and I said this in a song, it took a long time for him to get the promise of God, but a lot of us quit before we get there. A lot of us quit along the way, and you don't know how close you are to the promise and purpose that God has given you because you're going through a whole bunch. You think it's too much, but the Bible says that God will never put more on you than you can bear. Amen? Whatever you're going through, if you are able to go through it, if you are seeing it come at you, just know one thing. God will strengthen you, even if you don't understand it. He will strengthen you so that you can continue on. Amen? See, some of us, we are going through battles right now, and we're getting ready for this Life of a Warrior conference because I'm trying to tell you, this is what we are facing. You're facing a war, but you can't lose the war because it's already fixed. God has already gave us the victory. Now, let me tell you how you can lose the war. By putting it in your own strength. By trying to fight it in your own strength. By trying to reason with your own mind instead of the mind of God, which is in the Bible. We fight with the word of God. Amen? That's why the word of God has to be in you. Because when you are squeezed, something's going to come out. Is it going to be the word of God or is it going to be you? Right? That's what we got to remember. That's why we study the word of God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's keep on going. So Joseph got married, right? He was 30. During the 7 years of plenty, Joseph stored up. During the 7 years of famine, he had enough to even where his brothers, you guys remember his brothers, the ones he told was going to bow down, end up coming to him and bowing down, right? So we see that God fulfilled what God had to fulfill in the life of Joseph. But Joseph went through so much more than we even want to go through, right? I don't want to go into prison. I hope I don't have to go, but sometimes we got to make sure, man, God, okay, I have plans, God, but I'm going to surrender them to you. Even when I don't understand them, God, let me realize that your way is greater than my way. Amen. I remember doing this music and stepping out, music and ministry, and it didn't work out the way that I thought it would work out. I had great plans. I was like, okay, if we sell this amount of CDs a day, we could be good. I had it mapped out 5 days a week. If we do this, it's going to work. Man, I could do this. I get out there and it doesn't work. And it was one of the hardest things because you felt like you failed. But through that, God was revealing to me really what I needed to do. He was like, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. And it was hard because I was like, man, God, you told me to do this. And when you fall on your face, it's like, man, God, I was at a place where I didn't have nothing else to hold on but faith. I was like, God, I don't know how this is going to work. But you told me it's going to work, and I'm praying, and I'm kind of frustrated because sometimes we get that way with God. Like, come on, God. And I'm pretty sure Joseph was there. Like, how is this dude going to forget me, right? How did he forget me? Now I'm in here 2 more years, and we don't know his conversations with God, but he was human like us. I'm pretty sure he questioned God, questioned his dream. But through all of that, my faith was being birthed even stronger. Now I understand what it really means to trust God. I didn't know what it meant before that. I really trusted in what I could do myself, right? And sometimes we get to that place where we think we can handle everything, and God has to just dismantle those plans, right? So that he could get us to a place where, okay, now that you trusted me, now let me do what I was trying to do in the first place. Amen? So that's what happened to Joseph. His brothers came, said they sorry, right? You know what I'm saying? Even the story after that, Joseph tried to get back at them guys. He's like, man, you guys sold me in slavery. I'm going to take care of y'all. Made him leave one of the brothers, go get the father. And, you know, after that, they reconciled and everybody repented. Praise the Lord. But many times this life will have challenges that God allows. That's what we have to remember. God is going to allow challenges to challenge your faith. Without a test, and none of us really like tests in school, but a test really shows what we learn. Now, I'm not going to say every test in life has to be a school test on paper, and you have to do it this way, but God is going to allow challenges to see what you have learned in your faith. If you didn't learn anything, you're going to be at that same challenge over and over and over. There was a time in my life I had to ask God, why am I still here? Like, what is going on, God? And he said, you haven't learned what I needed to teach you. So you're going to, and so when he said that, I was like, okay, God, what do I need to learn? And he told me, and I was able to get out of there, right? But I had to be in a place where I can listen to God. So you're going to be challenged in your life, in your faith. And I say this, challenges can either push you away from God or draw you closer. Right? You're facing challenges right now that can either say, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to continue to trust him even though I don't understand it, or God, I don't understand this, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going to go do it my own way. Right? Let's find a story just like that. Job chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. Now, this is a challenge that God allowed. Satan came up to God and said, I'm going to challenge Job. Right? And God said, you go ahead. Go ahead. Challenge him. So let's see what happened. It says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Not only did the devil not come up with this, God even picked the person. He said, hey, listen, man, you don't got nothing to do. Challenge Job. Job is going, he's going to win. Right? He said, because he didn't call him anybody. He didn't say, hey, did you consider Job? He said, have you considered my servant Job? Right? And there is none like him on the earth. This is what God is saying. And what is God saying about us? That's always a question we got to think about. If he's saying this about Job, we want to hear the same thing. A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity. Oh, man, that's a word right there. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So even though you came with battle won, Job still holds to his integrity. Job still continues to serve God. Job, because remember, after round one, if you haven't read the first story of Job, I think my dad was just talking about this. One day, the devil came and did the same thing, and God said, hey, try Job. So Job's family, he had how many kids? 7 kids, right? In one day, all 7 of his kids died, having a party at a house, and they said east winds came and collapsed the house, right? The same day, all his livestock was destroyed. And then there was another thing that happened. I think, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but you can go read Job chapter 1 and find it out. That's a cliffhanger for you. But all of these things happened, and Job immediately, after hearing that news, worshiped God. That was round one. That was battle one. He won that battle, right? Now, some of us, we only look at the earthly things, but God said he won battle one. He won that. So round two, somebody say round two. Life of a warrior, we're getting ready, right? So round two, it says, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hands, but spare his life. Right? So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job. Somebody say struck. Struck Job with painful boils from the soil of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? She's questioning the same thing God had already said he hold to. Right now listen, this is the word right here. Somebody in your life's going to question what God has already gave you or what God has already told you. Or what God has already confirmed in you, right? It's no coincidence that God said, and guess what? He kept his integrity. And then she says, are you still going to hold on to your integrity? Wow. That's how people do us. They're going to challenge you. The word of God is going to be challenged in your life by even friends that you have. They're going to challenge that. Why? Because they don't believe it. They look at what's going on and be like, come on, man, you still going to trust God? And if you're going to be led by them, you're going to be like, maybe I shouldn't. Or you could be like Job, who she said, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But what did Job do? Verse 10, it said, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Now, first of all, he put her in her place. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You guys see that? Job went through something. He went through something. God encouraged him for his integrity, but the devil discouraged him even through his wife, right? And through his wife, God said, listen, or not God said, she said, curse God and die. Get rid of your integrity. Get rid of your beliefs. That's really what she's saying. Come on, man, God ain't for real. You see this happening? And that's what the world's doing to us today. God's not real. That's what they want to tell us. He's not for real. He's fake. Right? He's just a figment of your imagination. Something you made up. Something you have a crutch you're holding on to. But when we have our integrity and we know who God is, we say, I will take the good from God and even the bad. Amen? That's a challenge. I said just before this, challenges could either draw you closer to God or push you away from God, depending on what you're looking at. Right? If you're looking to yourself, Precious, Markayla, Marquise, Art, if we're looking to ourselves, we will curse God. But if we look to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and if we look in the word and it says, even in Revelations, even despite some of the believers being slain and their bloods crying out to God, God will take care of them. They're going to get a special white robe, he said, with a special name on it. But he also said he's going to take vengeance on that. Right? God's going to take care of us. And in the end, our reward is going to be being with him forever. Amen? So, you have to make, if we want more of God, there's going to be more challenges. Right? Listen, I'll tell you this, and I don't even feel wrong when I tell people this, because if you don't have God in your life, you're not going to have that many challenges. You're not going to have that many challenges. Why? Because the enemy's not, and I'm not going to say you're not going to have any, right? But when you're not trying to follow God, the enemy's not going to bother you. The enemy's not bothering you. He's like, he don't serve God anyway. Your life is cool. But then even when their life, when they do hit a rough spot, anybody ever thought about how rich people really want to know if they need God? They need to go through a rough spot. They have to go through a challenge. Let them go through a challenge and their money can't get them out of it. The house, they don't have advice. Pharaoh was the same one. Pharaoh didn't believe in God right here, right? We heard the story of Joseph. Pharaoh did not believe in God, but he was troubled. And all his counsel and all the wise men that he had could not even interpret what was going on, but God sent somebody that was full of the Spirit of God that met his challenges face on. Now, let me say this as I get ready to close. Your challenges are not just for you. Did you know that? You can go through those challenges, but as you go through those challenges, God is making you ready to help somebody else that's going through a challenge. We in the church, we call that testimony, right? When somebody shares a testimony, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I'm like, man, okay, cool. God did you hear what God did? Pastor Woodley was looking for a house, right? They were looking for a place. God allowed him to get just enough to get in, amen, and it was a bigger place than they had before. Better place than they had before. So when I hear that, I'm like, look at God. Come on, man. We that's why we share these testimonies. We share what God is doing in our life to encourage somebody else because they're being challenged. God is creating in you more instances for a testimony, and we have to be ready for them. Amen. We have more challenges coming. But we know that God will allow us to be victorious. Amen. We're going to win more battles. See, we love warriors in the Bible who faced multiple, you know what I'm saying, challenges. Even in TV, if we watch a movie, we don't want to watch a movie that has no challenges. How you a tough man and you ain't even challenged, right? You just walking in, nobody wants to touch you because you're so tough. No, we want to see them fight, right? We want to see the Marvel characters and all of those Batman, Superman. Like, if they don't have a challenge, they're not super. They're just normal. But God allows us to be challenged. And as we are challenged, if we put our faith in him, people are going to look at you and be like, man, how did that happen? And just like Joseph, we say it wasn't me. It was the God in me. Amen. It's the God in me. Yeah. That's how we do it, man. Let's go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this word. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, that you are birthing in us more, oh God. More of you, more insight, more wisdom, more understanding, oh God. And I pray, dear God, even as the enemy tries to come in, as your word says, like a flood, dear God, that the people of God will raise up a standard against it, oh God. That we would be strong in the power of your might, dear God, that we would put on your armor, dear God, so that we may be able to stand in the last and the wicked days, oh God, in the evil days. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you would help us hear your voice more. Help us apply your voice more. Apply your word more. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Dear God, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.